Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to a new episode of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. Today, we're sharing part two of my conversation with Garrett Bernethy as we learn how to make decisions better. When it comes to making good decisions, how important is seeking wise advice? What questions should we be asking ourselves when making a decision? And what are some ways we can discern what God's will is in our everyday lives? We talk about this and so much more on this week's episode. I'm Tyler Waugh, and you're listening to Road Trips. So just kind of our next question, we talked about kind of reflecting with God through prayer and through scripture. What about kind of reflecting with ourselves? What are some questions we need to be asking ourselves when it comes to making good decisions?
Well, I think, you know, what you just said, what is my motives? I think that's a huge thing. And, you know, again, we've said it before that when you just talk about the decisions of our life, there is so many, and there's so many different, you know, ways that you can tackle this from a positive and negative perspective. And you know, we might call it chapter of life has a whole different set of types of decisions that we make. You know, if we're, you know, young, you know, from a baby to 10 years old, you know, our decisions are very minimal, right? Whether we're going to do what mom and dad told us or not, and, you know, where we want to go play, that's the deal. From 11 to 20, you've got a whole different set of decisions that are very vast, right? An 11-year-old doesn't have a whole lot of decisions, but by the time you reach 20, you know, you've come a long way, and now you're making decisions on, you know, schools, insurance, whatever. So every chapter has a different set of decisions that you have to make, and that is in regard to the things you're going to do for your life. It has to do with things that you're going to do with the church. It has to do with how you want to be seen. And I'm glad that you brought that up because, you know, in Romans chapter 8, Paul discusses that, you know, God, the Holy Spirit, is searching your heart. He understands your heart. And within the context in Romans chapter 8, he's discussing prayer and your ability to, you know, not be able to say the things that you're wanting to say. You can't express those. And so the power of God, you know, one of the beautiful things about that relationship is that he understands what you need before you ask it. He understands how you feel before you tell him. And he understands that even if you can't tell him, right? But on the flip side of that, what that means is that he understands, like you said, the motives of your heart for what you're asking, what you're doing, so on and so forth. And that's not the only time that we find in the text the heart being talked about. Two different times, Paul discusses, you know, the examination of the heart and things within the first letter to Thessalonica. So, you know, understanding your motivation for what you're doing is really a big deal, and I'm glad that you brought that up. But I also think that we need to consider, you know, what's the purpose of this decision? I oftentimes think that or believe that if there's no purpose for what we're doing, we probably need to question whether we need to do it or not. And that's probably more in regard to maybe the bigger decisions, you know. And if you're a young man who's in ministry or in a business or something to that nature, you know, those decisions that you might be a part of, that probably would be a good question to ask. In regard to whatever decision it is, what is the purpose of this? If you can't find one, you need to question, you know, the answer to the questions that are being asked or whatever is being proposed. Another thing to think about is, how will it affect me? Is it going to affect my life? Is it going to affect me spiritually? Is it going to, you know, and that, I've actually got these two listed. One, is it going to affect me personally? So is it going to stress me out? Is it going to cause a lot of issues? Is it going to take me away from something? You know, those are all things that you need to think about. Is it going to take over my life? How is it going to affect me? Two, how is it going to affect my family? Is this decision going to affect how I treat them? Is it going to affect how much time I spend with them? Is it going to affect how I can lead them in whatever perspective role that you're in? If you're, you know, if you're a married man and have children, you know, you're supposed to be the spiritual leader of your home. Well, will your decision affect your family where you can't be that? For the wife and the mother, is your decision going to affect that? Or maybe somebody who is not married, you know, how is this going to affect my family? Because here's what I have learned as I have grown older is that, you know, me as a parent still love and care for my child, even if they're gone out of my house and married or in college or whatever. We still care about them. We care about their decisions, and their decisions can ultimately affect the family in a positive or negative way. So, you know, this applies to everybody. How is it going to affect my spiritual life? Is it going to take me away from being able to grow? Is it going to take all of my focus and put it somewhere else? Is it going to put me in a situation or around a group of people that are going to affect me in the way of the world that lead me away? Those are things to think about. How is this going to affect my relationship with God? Again, that's kind of connected to what we just said, but you know, that's something that we really need to evaluate in our decision making. That probably these are more for bigger decisions, but there are a lot of little decisions that can lead you away, right? Being friends with this person, doing this type of thing, seeing these type of movies, you know, making a bad decision when you're alone, you know, with your computer. Those are all small things. Will they affect your relationship with God? Whether it's leading you down a sinful path or putting you in a situation that you could fall away. Another question is, does this help me to do more for the kingdom, right? I don't know that we can push this enough that every person who is a child of God needs to be working for the kingdom. And some people have in their mind that, you know, well, that means I have to be a preacher. No, it doesn't. Well, that means that I have to be a deacon. No, it doesn't. Well, that means I have to be an elder. Well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that at all. You can be a great worker for the kingdom and never be or have those titles. Some of the greatest workers in the kingdom don't have those titles. They're the people who you never know about, who are doing things you've never heard of, even if they're in your own congregation. They're serving in ways that benefit everybody. That helps the kingdom, whether they're taking care of the building or they're helping somebody, you know, that you don't know about, or maybe they're involved in a ministry that you've never heard of, but they've been involved in, and they just don't spout, you know, shout it from the rooftops. Everybody needs to be involved in the kingdom, and that needs to be a question that's asked. Is it going to affect that? Does this take me away from, you know, certain things? Is my work going to take me away from my family? Is, you know, and so that can apply to all kinds of things. So those are all questions that I think need to be asked. And I know that there are so many more that we could ask, but just kind of off the top, I think need to be asked to help you to evaluate, help you evaluate your decision, because each of those can affect your relationship with God, church, and family. In a major way.
Yeah, those are all really good, and I think it's so important to kind of ask those reflective questions and really sit with them and open up the Bible and search them out and ask ourselves and pray about it, because so often, and I've been guilty of this, so often we make decisions and it's just because I want to, because it looks fun, or because I just, it's something that I've always wanted to do, and that's about it. But under the lens of being a follower of Jesus, under the lens of I'm doing all things because I want to serve God, we need to be kind of asking those kinds of questions. Like, what is this actually going to do to my relationship with God? What is this actually going to do to my relationship with family, which family is so connected into our spiritual life. If it's a question of moving somewhere, what's the church like there? Mm-hmm. That's a big question to ask. And so often, maybe those aren't some things that we just immediately think about, when in reality, like, those should be the first things we think about, is what is this going to do to my relationship with me and God? Because ultimately, that's what's most important. So those are some really, really good questions we can be asking ourselves there. We kind of touched on this a little bit, but how important would you say seeking wise counsel is when it comes to making decisions?
Well, it's, you know, it is one of the greatest things that you can do. It really is. Because that's where wisdom is found. And when we are able to realize that we don't know as much as we think we know, and we actually go and begin seeking that, you know, wisdom that we need from others who can help us to figure it out or can lead us in the right direction, that's actually wisdom. And sometimes we get that a little bit backwards, that if we are asking for help in that sense, that it's a sign of weakness, but it's not. That's wisdom. Wisdom seeks wisdom. And that really is what all of this is about, is we're going to God, we're going to someone else who is going to be able to mentor me, who's going to be able to counsel me, who's going to be able to lead me in the right direction. That is all good stuff. It's not bad stuff. That's strength. That's not weakness. And so in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, it says, where there's no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there's victory. So seeking counsel is that's a victorious type of thing. That's a wise thing to do, because wise counsel can bring stability to your life, can bring stability to your family, your situation. So that's a good thing. Another one, Proverbs 15:22, without consultation, you know, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. So good decisions come from seeking good advice. So, you know, from a biblical perspective, it's telling you, Solomon is sharing with us, you know, there is a way to go about things, and it is a good thing. It's a strong thing. It's a wise thing to go to somebody who knows more than you. But here's what that shows about you. If you're willing to do that, it shows humility in your life to recognize, I am where I'm at and I don't know a few things. Well, humility is a godly quality. Jesus humbled himself and he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, Philippians chapter 2. Well, for me to exemplify humility in my life and go seek that from someone else, that's a good thing. And that also means that I'm not a prideful person if I'm able to do that. Well, one of the main tools of Satan in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16 is the pride of life. Jesus was tempted with the pride of life. We're tempted with the pride of life. And if we fall to that temptation to say, no, I'm good, I know it all, I can figure it out on my own. And if I had a dime for every time I've said that, you know, I'd probably be rich. But, you know, equally, if I had a dime for every time I failed, I'd probably be rich as well. But, you know, humility is a good thing. Seeking counsel is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with asking for counsel, and it's very, very important. So, you know, I really don't know why it is that we tend to be that way, you know, and I'm as guilty as anybody else, but we should never be at a point in our lives that we feel that we know everything. Understand, you are where you are. You don't know everything, and that's okay. You're not supposed to. So, you know, over time, we will learn more, but we will not learn everything in a day. And so, the edification in the church comes from, you know, the wisdom of others, and you can be built up by the wisdom others have. And so that's something that, you know, we really should seek throughout all times of our life and really soak that stuff in.
Yeah, my microphone just
went off on me, but yeah, but yeah, you're so right. And it really is a show of humility. I think especially as, and I could be wrong, but I think more as men, there's this tendency to not ask for help with things. And it is so important because it does show humility, and it says that, hey, I really don't have the answer with this. I don't know what to do in this situation. I've also found too, when making decisions, sometimes I do know what I want to do, and I know what's right, and I know what I should do. And so maybe I'll go to someone, and sometimes they either tell me what I don't want to hear, or they just kind of reaffirm what I'm thinking. They just say it out loud, and I just needed someone else. I just needed someone else to say it, if that makes sense. Sure. And so I think it is so important, and I'm sure you have too, but I've been blessed with just a lot of good mentors in my life that have helped me make really, that have helped me make some really big decisions. And so, yeah, the Proverbs talk so much about seeking wise counsel, how important that is. And we have the greatest resource when it comes to seeking wise counsel, the church. Yeah. We have this amazing avenue of asking for some really good advice from some really good people who, in many cases, have walked through the exact same things that we have. And I know that the world has changed. I know that life has changed a lot in the past just 20 years. But there's in so many aspects, there's nothing new under the sun.
That's exactly where I was going right there. I was turning it over to Ecclesiastes. Yeah. That's right.
But so many have gone through the exact same things that we have. And so I think that that's one of the reasons too why we would seek that wise advice. And like I said, we have this amazing avenue of seeking advice through the church. Yeah. So just kind of switching gears here in the last couple questions, there's all these, and we talked a little bit about this last week, how we have this tendency to compartmentalize our lives and put God in a box or work in a box and education, all these different boxes. When in reality, going back to Romans 12:1, all of our life is meant to be lived in whole service to God. Mm-hmm. And so saying all of that, does God care about each decision that I make? Does God care about where I work? Does God care about where I go to school and what I major in?
Yeah, and that's a good question. And I think you could probably have a whole podcast set up just for that question. But I really think that he does. And I don't know that it's in the actual action, but it's in the character that you show and where your heart is. And the reason I believe that is because everything we do in some ways goes back in some way to who he wants you to be. And I'll give you a few examples of this. Let's just take something as simple as taking out the trash. Is taking out the trash, does God really care about that? In the actual action of taking out the trash, maybe he doesn't. But it's found in the why, I think. So you taking out the trash as a husband can be helping your wife. The kids taking out the trash for the family can be helping, you know, keep things clean. And it doesn't go back to the actual, you know, taking out the trash serves God. It's serving your family or your spouse is serving God. Managing your bank account, you know, in all reality, if you know, some people have a number of accounts and they have, you know, maybe one account that's just kind of there for extra cash and it doesn't really mean anything, but you check it to make sure what's in there. Well, that's being a good steward, you know, understanding what money you have in the bank, what you have in your accounts to keep up with that and to make sure that's where it needs to be or to understand what you have. That can go back to stewardship, taking care of what you have, or, you know, even planning for whatever you may have that. So in some way, it goes back to some teaching, biblical teaching for us as individuals. Mowing the lawn for your grandparents. Again, that can go back to caring for your family. That can go back to serving. Going on vacation, right? Does God care if you go on vacation? You know, does he care if you go to the mountains or, you know, to Disney World? I don't know. But to take time off. Now I think that he does care about that, because even Jesus took time off. And Bethany was one of those places that he would go to take some time off. He would go to the Garden of Gethsemane to get away. And that's the idea, to get away. And that's beneficial for you, and God cares for you, because that's a time that you can clear your mind, and that's a time that you can take a break. Everybody needs a break in some way. And you know, I say vacation. Could be a vacation, could be a staycation, right? Could just be, you know, time off work, just something to get away. Does God care about all that? He cares about you. And if you need it, then that ultimately affects everything else you do. If you get to a point of burnout, you can't be what you fully would be if you're not burned out. If you're extremely tired, you know, you can't work as efficient or as well as if you were fresh. So, you know, there's in some way, you know, God's involved in all this. He cares about all of this. How about this? What type of shoes do you wear? Does God care if you wear Nike or you know, Reebok or you know, whatever? Does he care about that? Probably not. However, if we think about it from this perspective, if you buy bad shoes, the shoes can hurt your feet, they can affect your knees, they can affect your hips, they can affect your back, which can keep you doing some of the bigger things that you might normally do, whether that's preaching, mission trips, taking care of the building, work days, serving on the table, you know, doing certain things with your family. So does God care about the shoe? No, but does he care about your decision that can affect a whole lot of things? Now I think that we're hitting something. School. And school is another one of those, you know, in many ways, it's a divisive topic, unfortunately. But if we just talk about school in general, education is a good thing. It's a good thing. And there are a number of ways that you can be educated, whether it's homeschool, public school, Christian university, non-Christian university, you know, education is what it is. And so does God care if you go to, I'll just name my elementary, which was Rollingwood Elementary versus, you know, Willow Oaks Elementary. Does he care if you go to one place or the other? Well, as far as an elementary school, probably not. Does he care that you go to school? Well, if that school helps you to read, to write, to learn history, to learn grammar, those things during the time, you know, you may or may not like it, but, you know, it kind of is what it is, right? I hate writing this letter over and over again. But when you grow up, now I can write a sermon. I can read my Bible. I can share what I'm reading with others. So see how that's affected. Well, does he care about your education? Well, from that perspective, yeah. Does he care about you learning history? From that aspect, I would say absolutely. We have two Testaments for a reason. And Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 explains that both of those are pointing to one thing. And so, is history important? Yes. Well, all of those things connect in some way to what God really does want for you, and therefore he cares about your education. Now, you can go all over with that. Let's just say outside of school. Let's say that you learn a trade. And let's take a mechanic, for instance. Does God care if you're a mechanic? Well, does he care about mechanics? I don't know. Does God care about cars? He doesn't, you know, have a need for one. So I don't know. But if you take a mechanic who is gifted at being a mechanic, he loves being a mechanic, how can he use that gift? He can bless a whole lot of, he can do that as a job. But let's say that you have some folks within the congregation that are, you know, having some major issues, and they're really having a hard time with it. Can he use that gift as being a mechanic to serve and help somebody else? Well, sure he can. So does God care about that for you? Absolutely, because that's a gift you've been given, and you can serve others in that way. You know, and that goes, you know, along with work in general, right? Some jobs can take you away from your family. Some jobs can hold you back from worship. Does God approve of that? Does he like that? Well, there are a lot of different jobs that have a lot of different responsibilities. So every one of those needs to be your own personal decision. I used to be a lineman. I was for a long time. And there were a lot of storms, a lot of travel that I had to be away to be able to work and restore power. You have police officers that, you know, during certain situations, they have to be away. Fire department, you know, there's a lot of jobs that can do that. But there are some jobs that will take you away for 6 months to a year. And then you have, you know, what if you're in the military? Well, that could take you away, right? During certain times. So, you know, everything needs to be evaluated, but you really need to evaluate that for yourself in every situation when you're choosing a job. Does it care where you work? Well, if that work is going to take you away from being able to lead your family, is going to take away your influence from your family, is going to take away your ability to ever worship again, you know, that's something you need to think about. Is it important to evaluate those things? Yes, it really, really is. Now, are you going to, you know, not be able to make it to heaven because you missed a few Sundays because you had to work? No, I don't think so. You know, there's a lot of farmers around here, and you know, I know you've experienced a lot of farmers around where you grew up. When harvest is in, and you got to get the crop in, and maybe that means that you have to miss a Sunday morning. Maybe it means you may have to miss a Wednesday. For some, they're not missing for anything, and that's their personal conviction. And for others, you know, the storm's coming in. I really have to get this because this is how I support my family for the rest of the year. All of those are things to evaluate and think about, because every one of us needs to understand the boundaries that we're willing and unwilling to cross. And for everybody, that's a little bit different, depending on your culture, depending on where you are. But I want to throw this in there, that when you're thinking about work, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 is important. And a lot of people, unfortunately, there's an argument that says you miss worship, then this is a sinful action, and that's how they use that. But the real context there is, if you are forfeiting, we're not talking about missing. We're not, you know, missing for being sick, missing because you got called out for work because something crazy happened. We're not talking about those events that may take you away from worship. But for somebody who is willingly missing worship, you're forfeiting your ability to be encouraged by the body of Christ, to be encouraged by the worship of your God. Does God care about that? He does. And whether we like to admit it or not, that is how he feels. We are commanded to worship. Well, if your work never allows you to worship, you need to evaluate that. And again, I'm not saying you miss a Sunday, you know, you can't go to heaven. I've missed plenty of Sundays because of that. I've been in that world. But if it takes you completely away from your spiritual walk, if it takes you completely away from your church family, that's something you really need to evaluate. So, you know, all of those are decisions that we need to make that God does care about. He cares about every aspect of your life. And I'm going to go back to that statement again. If we want God in our life, we need to involve God in our life. And if our daily life, the things that we do, don't allow him to be a part of our life, then that's something I think that we really need to reevaluate.
And I think the last kind of part that you said, I think that's kind of where the disconnect kind of happens. We talk about, does God care about each decision that we make? And I think the point that you were kind of making was, if you peel back the layers enough, then yes, it might be two layers, it might be three layers.
Sure.
But do we want to involve him when I do take out the trash? Do I want to involve him when it comes to my work? And it kind of goes back to what we've been talking about really on this episode and the last one, is God wants more than just your Sunday practices. If that is the entirety of our spiritual life, that's about all we're going to get out of our spiritual life, because all we're doing is attending worship on Sunday and we're not involving him on from Monday through Saturday. Right. And so it does matter. Each decision does matter, because when we were baptized, we made a commitment to say that our entire life is his, that he now rules over us, that he now is the one who guides us and leads us. And so now we have to filter each decision we make through, what is this going to do between me and God? What is this going to do between me and other people? So I really appreciate all the things you said there. So last question, and this is a very broad question. I'll just throw it at you. How can we discern the will of God in our everyday lives?
Well, first, I think it's important that we have the right perspective of life and understand our place in life, that we as individuals are not the center of life, but that we are created by God. Therefore, our service should be to one that really all of life centers around. And so looking at things from the right perspective is really important. Your mind will become ultimately what you feed it. So if you feed trash into your mind, it's going to spit out trash. If you feed righteousness into your mind, it's going to spit out righteous things. If you feed negativity into your mind, it's going to spit out negativity. So what you feed your brain matters. The will of God is found in the word of the Lord. And if we're not spending time in the word of the Lord, then there is no practical way that we can fulfill the will of God within our life. And I'll go back to what I talked about before. What we talked about before was, the very fact that the idea of spending more, the more time you spend within the text, the more your life will reflect the will of God in your life. And it's natural, because the text is going to attack some things that are you, right? It's going to attack your character. It's going to attack your decision-making, where you put your priorities. And that is not a negative thing. That is a good thing, because the transformation and the renewing of your mind that we've discussed in Romans 12:2 is a real thing. And so it's, God is bringing those things out for a reason. When we look at the life of the apostles during the 3 years that they were with Jesus, and you notice the apostle Peter, there are some great things that Peter does. And he doesn't always know, why they're great, but there are some great things that Peter does. But there are also some really foolish things that Peter does. And if you go through and you study the life of Jesus with Peter, when Peter does good, he calls him Peter. When he does bad, he calls him Simon. Because while he does things as Simon, he's living and doing and choosing and being the character of the person he used to be. But Peter is pushing him to be, forward, to be the person that Jesus needs him to be. And so Jesus is needing him to fulfill the will of God within his life, because he has big plans. And so he was given the keys to the kingdom after he made the confession, and that, he opened the door in Acts chapter 2, and he preached such a great sermon. So, that's something that's really important. So it is, as the old song goes, when we're thinking from the right perspective, the will of God in our life, as the old song goes, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. What you feed your mind's going to spit out. And that is going to affect your heart. It's going to influence your decisions. It's going to make things go a certain way in your life. And so we have to remember that our lives as they are now are truly a result of every decision that we have made, good, bad, or ugly, because you have put yourself where you are. And so when we talk about the will of the Lord, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12 discusses making the right decisions and having good behavior around those who may not. And that's going to be something that they will glorify God in the day of visitation. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2 talks about meditating on the word day and night. And that's something that's very important. So Psalm 1 is teaching, you know, look to his word and implement it in your life. Psalm 2 is recognize the king. Well, all of that's about the will of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25 recognizes the encouragement that you gain from the church. That's a part of the will of the Lord. Philippians chapter 2 discusses the humility of Jesus and how that should be, you know, really that should be, we should have the mind of Christ. Well, that's the will of the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 25, we call them the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. If you're able to implement the character of Jesus into your character and have the same mindset as he does, that's the will of the Lord. Matthew 6, 33 and 34, seek his kingdom, seek his righteousness, live for today and let tomorrow take care of itself. That's the will of the Lord. Colossians 3, 1 and 2, set your mind on things above. Again, over and over again, all of these different, you know, texts are telling us, live God's way, not your way. And Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10 is a perfect example of that, where if we're like Ezra, it said that he set his heart to study the will of God or will of the Lord. You know, he set his heart to study really the law of Moses and to practice it and to teach it. Well, what was he sharing? He was sharing the will of God for the people. And that's important. So, you know, those are some things that I would share with you that I think are really God, are really good, you know, to have in our everyday lives. You can only discern the will of God in your life if you're spending time to understand God's will for your life. And so, you know, the will of God is not for you to be a preacher. The will of God is not for you to be a song leader. The will of God, sometimes we make it be that. The will of God is for you to be a reflection of his light, to be the salt of the earth, and to work in and for his kingdom for all of your life. Whatever your gift is, that's where you go. That's what you do. But the will of God is about sharing the gospel and bringing souls, you know, home, and you getting yourself and your family home. That's the will of the Lord, and those are things that we can implement.
That's so good. Essentially, you're saying, do what the Bible says.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. When all is said and done, fear God and keep his commandments. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And just a quick note on that is that sometimes, especially as young adults, or at least I kind of had this, like you were saying there at the end, I kind of had this idea that like the will of God was what he wanted to do in my career or what he mm-hmm. wanted to do in my school. And I would say things like, man, I wish God could just come down and sit by me and we could drink coffee and he could just tell me exactly what it is that I need to do.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And the reality is that'd be great. But the reality is that he already has. He already has, and we have it. It's giving thanks, it's loving others, it's serving them. All those verses that you mentioned, that's what it is. And practically, if we do that, then to an extent, it doesn't matter what we major in. It doesn't matter the job that we have or the career that we pursue. God has given us gifts. We use them, and we do it as service to him. We do it seeking his kingdom first, and we do it with that mindset of seeking things that are above. So those are some really, really good thoughts there.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can do the will of the Lord in anything that we do in life.
Exactly.
And so you can do God's work where you are, and to understand that is a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, Garrett, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was a great conversation.
Well, Tyler, thank you for having me. I appreciate you and this podcast and you know, for you having me on and being able to talk about, you know, these things. Just really grateful for the opportunity.
Absolutely.